Hello, everybody. This week on Flareon Films, we're talking about Mean Girls.
Hit the music. Ba-da-bum.
Everybody, I'm Michael Flaherty.
And I'm Colleen Flaherty.
This is Flaherty's on Films, a podcast about the best movies, and we're doing films recommended to us via Facebook.
And this week we're talking about 2004's Mean Girls.
Whoa.
A movie people apparently know.
Whoa, what is that?
Michael, why don't you tell people what it's about?
Here's the IMDb description. Cady Harriet is a high school girl, and she really wants to become the prom queen, starring Lacey Chabert, Lindsay Lohan, and Rachel McAdams. Clean, what Michael, are your initial impressions of the film?
Michael, that was perfect.
That was a good read of that real summary. What were your impressions of the film?
My impressions were, I remember really, really liking this film. So it wasn't as good as I remembered, but I still think it's like decent. And I don't know if I actually totally have worked out my feelings. So I think you, audience, and I and Michael, we're all going to go together in this journey till the end to see how I really feel about it. Michael, what did you think of it? What were your initial impressions?
This is not an answer to that question. But one of my memories, early memories of me in this movie, is telling other people, like, you know, that math teacher, she wrote the movie. Like, so impressed that I knew, like, that's, she's a writer. Yeah,
Tina Fey was already a head writer in SNL, right?
Like, it's not even a good fact then. I remember really liking this movie. Like, I thought it was really funny, but I also thought it was just like a good drama. I thought it had all the parts that I liked, and what it had the least for me this time was comedy. I still felt like it was a good story. I still like the characters, and I still kind of like its messages of what it's trying to get across. But the jokes did not land. And I mean, it's not always trying to be that funny of a movie, but especially like,
It's not strictly a comedy.
It's not, you know, Airplane. But like the Karen is dumb jokes, I'm like, all right, I get it. And the gay jokes.
Some of it didn't age well. I don't know. Some of it is just, I've seen it so many times. It's like, how funny can a joke be the 80th time you hear it, or that people reference it so much? The jokes lessen a lot.
I mean, I can't be on that boat because I still love Airplane. For the rest of my life, You Have a Drinking Problem is going to be very funny to me.
Well, that is one of the funniest jokes ever. But
there's probably four jokes in this movie that I think are really, really funny. And that's not a lot.
Actually, Tim Meadows' performance, even though most of the time he's not telling a joke, I think he's very funny.
I mean, I think he's a funny comedian, but I can't think of like his particular good bits.
The Amperny bit?
Here's a really good bit. Our next segment, bam!
Time for Sam. This is the part of the show where our super cool friend Sam comes on and tells us some super cool facts. Sam, take it away.
Tina Fey read the 2002 self-help book, Queen Bees and Wannabes.
Do you know, she's actually the math teacher in the movie.
Whoa. The math teacher?
Doesn't that blow your mind?
Queen Bees and Wannabes, Helping Your Daughter Survive Cliques, Gossip, Boyfriends, and Other Realities of Adolescence by Rosalind Wiseman. The book was written to help modern mothers help their teenage girls navigate the crazy world of high school. Fey immediately was inspired and reached out to her old SNL boss, Lorne Michaels. He had Paramount purchase the rights to the book, and Fey started crafting an actual story inspired by the cliques and drama the book warned about. Mean Girls is the screenwriting debut of Tina Fey.
The math teacher. You know, it's kind of sad because I feel like Tina Fey is like super talented. I love 30 Rock. I don't think she's done a lot of good movies.
Have you seen her other movie? Like Baby Mama?
I saw Baby Mama. I saw Sisters. I saw, like, they're just not good.
I like Baby Mama. I won't lie.
Okay. I mean, we all have our opinions.
Let's wait till that episode before we divulge.
Let's wait till we talk about Baby Mama.
Lindsay Lohan was originally thought of for the role of Regina George. However, she had just found success for her role in Freaky Friday. It wasn't believed that the audience would be able to see her as a bad person, so they gave her the role of Katie. The role of Regina would eventually go to Rachel McAdams. They thought she was so sweet in real life that she would be great as a villain. The runner-up to the role was Amanda Seyfried. They would decide to cast Seyfried as Karen Smith, and according to Seyfried, Karen Smith is her best work.
That's funny that she's proud of that.
She said that recently.
In Mamma Mia, excuse you.
She said that after Mamma Mia, yes. So to quote,
Veronica Mars.
Oh, right. She was great in Veronica Mars. So to quote, I was so innocent. I was so green. I look back and I'm like, really? I thought I was doing a terrible job. But it was written so well and so wonderfully directed. Mark Waters made me look good. He made me funny. And Tina Fey wrote the coolest script of all times. Mean Girls was the first film role for Seyfried.
That's fun. Wow. That's good.
Tina Fey wrote herself a part in the movie.
Mikey, what you know, part?
You know what she is?
The math teacher.
She decided to play the math teacher to go against the stereotype that women can't do math. To get the math that she needed for the part, she took her friend's boyfriend's lesson plans. He was a calculus teacher in the Bronx.
Cool.
People know that films are fictional.
What do you mean, Michael?
I mean, I just don't feel like she's helping the perception.
Michael, it just, you know, pop culture influences the way we think about gender dynamics, man.
Just saying, why can't, like, there's just so much forced diversity. That's my opinion.
Is that right? It's just like, what about the dudes? White men can do math too, guys.
Yeah, that was just my bad attempt at jokes. So please continue, Sam.
There's one more casting choice I would like to talk about, and that is the role of Damien, played by Daniel Friends. At the time of filming, Friends was only out to his family and close friends. He was so nervous about playing a gay character and worked hard to appear straight with his new fame. In 2014, for the 10th year anniversary, Friends wrote an open letter to his character Damien. It's a truly beautiful letter that I highly suggest everyone reads, but I would just like to read just a bit of it. So this is from the letter. When I was cast in the role of Damien in Mean Girls, I was terrified to play this part. But this was a natural and true representation of a gay teenager, a character we laughed with instead of at. It wasn't until years later that grown men started to come up to me on the street, some of them in tears, and thanking me for being a role model to them, telling me I gave them comfort, not only being young and gay, but also being a big dude. It was then that I realized how much of an impact you had made on them. Now in 2014, 10 years later, looking back, it took you to teach me how to be proud of myself again. It's okay if no one wants to sit at the table with the art freaks. Being a queer artist is one of my favorite things about myself. I have always been different, and that's rad.
Nice. Hey, Michael, make a joke about that.
He sucks.
Filming started in Toronto in September of 2003 and went through November. On top of creating the story, Faye had actually come up with background stories for all the characters. She was always there if any of the actors had questions about their characters. And although she was much too young to have a teenage daughter, Faye's good friend Amy Poehler came in to play the part of Regina's George's mom. Poehler also brought in her own writing chops by panning the rap that Raj Surendra, we're going to go with that, performs for the talent
show. She wrote the rap? That's great.
She wrote the rap, and she actually like choreographed the moves for him.
That's fucking good.
Because he was so uncomfortable, and there's actually like a video of her in a hotel doing it all so that he could watch it and practice.
That's fucking great. Love it.
The movie was released on April 30th, 2004. It would gross $129 million worldwide. It wasn't a blockbuster hit or an Academy Award winner, but it has developed a cult following. There are a million examples I could give its this lasting impression on society.
I thought this movie was bigger than cult. I always think of it as bigger than cult.
No, it's definitely a cult.
I mean, something can have a cult following that was also commercially successful. I think you can have both those things.
I guess.
Yeah.
Especially in when we kind of have an oversaturated market. So something that has a super devoted, lasting following, even after it was super successful.
I guess any movie at that time that made that much money is probably not as well known as Mean Girls. So it's like had a much bigger following as proportioned to its success.
I just think it makes it was very good for an internet culture that didn't exist yet.
Yeah.
So I would just like to do a couple of examples, just very few of my favorites of how this has kind of leached into the public throughout the years. October 3rd has been dubbed Mean Girls Day, and fans of the film celebrated by wearing pink.
Why?
And do you guys remember why it's October 3rd?
Because at one point she goes, and on October 3rd, Aaron and I spoke a second time. What day is it? I think it's October 3rd.
Oh, that's funny.
In August 2013, the White House tweeted a photo of President Obama's dog, Beau, holding a tennis ball captioned, "Beau, stop trying to make fetch happen."
That's really cute.
Yeah. Obama's so funny and cute and wonderful and amazing. Anyway,
let's move on. And one of the stars of this film would even go on to create the Burn Cookbook. An unofficial authorized cookbook for Mean Girls fans. Star was it? Well, that's your question of the week.
I'm going to guess Lacey Chabert.
Damn it, that was mine. Fuck. I'll guess Amanda Seyfried.
It was actually Jonathan Bennett, who plays Aaron Samuels.
Sure. Yeah, you should pick one of the ones that hasn't had a real career.
I think he hosts the Cupcake Wars now.
Seen him in a Hallmark movie where he went to his high school graduation and fell in love with him.
Oh, that's a good one!
He's not aged well, though, as I recall.
Nah.
He's
like a normal person. I want to be clear. I don't want to like body shame him for just being normal. He's just, you know, just not.
He hasn't Amanda Seyfried or Lacey Chabert.
Correct.
Christian
Mingle. Anyway, sorry.
In the Burn Cookbook, you can have such great recipes as fetch a chini Alfredo.
Jesus Christ.
You go, Glenn, hot cocoa.
Oh, boy.
You don't need a recipe for hot cocoa. Jesus Christ.
And here's my number. Please hire me. Pasta.
And just stab Caesar salad.
Oh, boy.
There is also a foreword from Michael's favorite actress, Lacey Chabert.
Oh. That's my favorite actress.
Favorite actress?
She is very attractive.
Sure.
Although the studio immediately wanted to make a sequel, Faye said no. She would kind of regret it later, but I think it was a smart choice. They would create a direct-to-video sequel without Faye that premiered on ABC Family in 2011. Faye did return to the world of Mean Girls when in 2018, Mean Girls the Musical debuted on Broadway. So the world of the plastics still lives on.
What was the sequel called?
Mean Girls 2.
Not Mean Women?
No, they were still in high school.
That's what I would have done.
It would have been better. I'm just saying.
I think so. You got to evolve the concept.
Exactly. You got to grow with it.
Is that it?
That's it.
That was Bam.
Time for Sam. Thank you so much for those amazing facts.
Those were amazing facts.
Here's the less good segment we like to call Critics Corner.
Yeah, feel free to turn the podcast off, everyone listening.
Pretty much.
Yeah.
Here's the critics have to say anyway, if you're still with us.
Yeah.
Peter Rainier from New York Magazine says, it's a smart little teen picture that, for a change, actually features recognizable teens. Thank you, Peter. What a super condescending positive review.
Nice. Okay. Here's from Vanessa. I seriously can't believe I sat through this movie. Just awful. What happened to the good old days of John Hughes movies where the acting was great and the plot was even better? So sad. She ended it like a Trump tweet.
Yeah, I don't hate all John Hughes movies, but like, they're not great plots.
No.
That's not why people like them,
no.
Right?
No. Well, I don't know why people like them.
Well, there's that.
There's the music, right? They have good music.
Isn't Home Alone a John Hughes movie? I like that one.
What's the one where John Cusack is holding the stereo? Is that John Hughes?
Probably.
And they do In Your Eyes?
Say Anything is the movie.
Is that John Hughes? Sam, you got to be on that.
Sam! Sam, is that John Hughes?
Okay, she's on it. Let's go ahead.
Okay. I would be more amused if the topic of rich material girls had not been worn to a thread elsewhere.
Good point. Good
Anthony
point.
Anthony Lane of The New Yorker. Excuse me.
Here's from Clark. Can't wait for this one. A message. Girls are trashy and nasty creatures. The whole movie is spent demeaning decency and promotes degeneracy. Keep your daughters away. Keep your sons away, too. Message to them is girls are only good for sex. Ah, whoa. Is that really what he saw? All right, cool.
I'm not sure. Yeah, I was a little... Anyway, happy...
Breaking news.
Yeah, oh. Yeah. Beep, 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 beep.
Not a John Hughes film.
Okay.
Say Anything is by Cameron Crowe.
That was my second guess.
Happily, Faye and Waters gently tweak the studio's usual high-gloss caricature of adolescence and aim for acutely hilarious and surprisingly empathetic sociology, says Jessica Winter of Time Out.
Mm-hmm. Right, here's our last one.
Pretentious pricks we have here. Anyway.
Pretentious. Well, at least now we got Mark Twain coming in to settle the score. So here's Mark Twain, who is an Amazon reviewer. Still kicking. Bad, bad, bad. Movie's a stinker. Why do they make crapola like this? And why would anyone want to see it? Anyway, I've never seen this movie. Wait, hold on. I've never seen any movie Lohan was in that was worth watching. That's from Mark Twain.
Has he seen The Parent Trap?
I've seen
a lot of Lohan vehicles, actually. So Lindsay Lohan is a year older than me. So every time a movie came out, like, I was the same age as her character in it.
Yeah, that's special.
That was very exciting for me. Like, when Parent Trap came out, I was 12.
Did you ever think, like,
when I was 17?
Do you ever think, like, when she's in a movie, you're like, why am I not in a movie?
All the fucking time, Michael. I was a redhead too. Sure, I wasn't Lindsay Lohan, but I...
But, like, how hard could it be?
Exactly. I saw Freaky Friday. I saw Confessions of a Teenage Drama Queen.
What is that? Confessions of a Teenage... Is that just Mean Girls too?
Not anything like Mean Girls.
Oh, okay.
It was just a very weird, over-stylized Disney film.
She's a good actress.
I thought she was actually pretty good in this. A lot of the one-star reviews were just being really mean about Lindsay Lohan, but she was fine.
I mean, in Paratrap, she had a British accent. That was good.
Oh, don't think...
I just think she's got chops. She hasn't got Chabert chops, but she's got chops.
But how many of us have Chabert?
No one has Chabert chops like Chabert. Khalid, that was a great segment. But we're going to move on to our next segment, which is favorite part, least favorite part. And I would like to hear what your favorite part is. Or least favorite part, whichever you want to start with.
I'm going to start with my least favorite part.
Okay.
And I think it's Aaron Samuels. But let me flesh that out. Because as a plot vehicle, he was fine. Like, as a dreamy guy of the mid-2000s with Justin Bieber hair, fine. Well done. But he also sort of played this weird moral compass character that was so fucking infuriating, I wanted to punch him. Like, he was the worst. And then it sort of also snowballs into how, like, men are also terrible, but this movie doesn't really care about that for some reason. They only care about how women are toxic to each other. And I kind of get, like, all right, a movie can only say so much at a time. So I don't fault it too much. But I feel like Aaron Samuels is a really good example of how men just get to do whatever in this world.
Yeah, I agree with that like 1,000%. I can't think of any part of what you said that is wrong. Yeah, so Lindsay Lohan, instead of being the good girl who just wants to do good at math, she ends up with the mean girls. Right. And this sort of character development is reflected in her desire to get Aaron Samuels, who's just like, you're after me. You should be in math. And it's like, fuck you. You're like an asshole.
Right.
So yeah, my answer is your answer. I think, and I've read your favorite part. That's also mine, but I want you to say it.
Okay. Well, so my favorite part, I think a lot of the performances were really good, but my two favorite performances were Rachel McAdams and Lacey Chabert. And I'm not even doing a bit about Lacey Chabert, because Rachel McAdams was the most believable teenager. Like I said, when this movie came out, I was a teenage girl, and I am sure, like, teenage girls today watching this movie probably don't see themselves in this movie, but I certainly saw recognizable things. But Rachel McAdams was the most believable teenager, but also weirdly nuanced for the villain.
As a villain, she's fucking, she's got that stare. She's got those eyes where you're just like, fuck, I'm in trouble.
Also that, like, kind of like beautiful blonde innocence that's just so deceiving. I don't know. I just thought she did.
What is she doing now, Rachel McAdams? Oh, she was in that Time movie.
Yeah, she was in, I don't know, Sherlock Holmes.
She should be a villain. She should be
a villain way more often. She was in The Notebook. I think that was her career high.
She's a fucking good villain.
She's a really good villain. But Lacey Chabert, so you were just saying how the movie wasn't very funny, but Lacey Chabert's monologues are the best part. Her little monologue about how we should totally stab Caesar because that's not what Rome is about. And when do we decide that someone could just be the boss of everyone? It was so great because it's almost like a little over the top and cartoonish, but just so perfect.
Brutus is just as cute as Caesar. Okay, Brutus is just as smart as Caesar. People totally like Brutus just as much as they like Caesar. And when did it become okay for one person to be the boss of everybody, huh? Because that's not what Rome is about. We should totally just stab Caesar!
I was so into her character development, into that role.
I think the writing for her is funny, but I think also just she is actually just really good at acting. I'm thinking of the line where she's like revealing Regina's secrets. And she's like, Regina's parents don't even sleep in the same bed. I don't remember the line exactly. It's something like that. And then she turns, she's like, don't tell her I said that. Like, she does it she does it really, really, really well.
That other monologue where she talks about the white gold hoops her parents got.
And she fucking nails the performance. She's like so funny.
She is really, really good.
And she is the star of Christian Mingle, the movie, right?
Correct. I'm a little sad for that her career hasn't gone a little better. But
what happens in that? I mean, is it just like a typical romance movie, I guess?
I assume she learns to find love through God. I assume.
I assume she marries someone who is not religious or is in a relationship and then it's just, but he's like working a big city job and she just can't.
She wouldn't marry that guy because she couldn't get.
That's how it starts, I'm assuming. And then she's like, "Well, I got to try out this website."
To that guy, maybe.
Yeah. Huh. I just wonder.
Permanent in Hallmark universe.
And then maybe the conflict is in the original boyfriend just tries to win her back the whole time, but then she has to use the power of God to reject him.
It is just a really good teen movie. Like,
what the fuck does that mean?
Well, I'm just thinking about it as a genre. I just thought it was really good. Like, it's a good movie for teenagers. It was a good movie for me as a teen.
Why?
To watch. I do think it was a little overhyped at the time. Like, wow, what a powerful statement about how toxic female relationships can be. It's like, shut up.
Yeah, but, okay, well, back your stat. Why do you think it's a good movie for teens?
Maybe I just am comparing other films in the genre.
Like, what's an example?
Like 10 Things I Hate About You.
But you don't you like that movie more than this movie?
Maybe I do.
I don't know what your point is.
There's a lot of other crap. That's what my point
yeah,
was.
Yeah, say what the other crap is.
Like Confessions of a Teenage Drama Queen.
Oh, there you go. That movie we've all seen.
Like She's the Man, where Amanda Bynes is a man. Anyway, what's your favorite part of the movie, though?
Lacey Chabert, I really think just the acting is phenomenal.
Lacey Chabert in particular.
Yeah, and I don't think any of the other parts of this movie are amazing. I don't think the comedy is amazing. I don't even think the story is particularly amazing. Like, it's good, but I'm not like wowed by it. But I am wowed by the performances.
I will also say I actually do kind of like the story. I think it's a well put together film. You know, you're never bored. You're kind of into it.
Yeah, I don't think it, but does it wow you?
It did at the time. And I wonder if I had watched it fresh and not new and didn't know anything about it, what I would feel. But I mean, I think some of the movie suffers from just being a total timepiece. Like, I just feel like people aren't like this anymore.
But already. How would we know what teens are like?
Ah, Michael, please. I know all about the youths.
Tell me one thing about the youth that you know.
They use TikTok.
All right, you got me. I don't
they
even
do
know.
Dances on the TikTok.
All right, you got me.
Yeah, I knew it. I don't know. I just feel I'm not saying that teenagers aren't toxic anymore, but I feel like they're a little more aware of, I don't know, girls being awful to each other isn't just the fault of teenage girls. Maybe.
Are you just talking out your ass? Do you know anything?
Of course I don't know anything.
Let's go on to our next segment, Intern Summary, where we go through the plot of the film. I'll start reading this summary we have here. After being homeschooled by her research zoologist parents in Africa for her entire academic life, Katie Herod moves to Evanston, Illinois, and encounters the most dangerous habitat of them all, public high school.
I have two things to say about that. One, I was very excited that it was in Illinois because at one point her parents go to Madison and I'm like, that's where we live.
I've seen this movie like 80 times and every time they said Madison before, I'm like, that can't be here.
It is,
but
though.
It is actually here.
All right. Second thing, one thing that actually made me laugh out loud was the homeschool bit.
What's the... What's the bit?
I know you think homeschoolers are just like weird overachievers or they're religious nuts. And they do that bit with the redneck kids.
Because you like laughing at rednecks?
Yeah, I like doing that. Is that okay?
She quickly befriends by Janice and Damien, two outsiders who give Katie the lowdown on the social order at North
Michael,
Shore
it's
High.
Katie.
It's Katie. At the top of the social pyramid are Regina George and her two minions, Gretchen Wieners and Karen Smith. Collectively known as the Plastics. When Lacey Chabert says her father is the inventor of Toaster Strudel, that's one of the five jokes in this movie that I really like. Because she is good at selling that joke.
The way she says it. I don't think my father, the inventor of Toaster Strudel, would be very happy to hear about this.
Yeah, she is fucking really good.
I have another thing to say about Katie, though.
Yeah, go ahead.
So they make a bit where she's like been in the savannah or the jungle this whole time. So that's why she's been homeschooled and doesn't know how other kids are. But then there's a bit where she's like, oh, I had a one crush when I was five on this little boy who was clearly an African boy. So she like did know kids in Africa.
But are you saying there's plot holes?
It's not even a plot hole. It's just like, do you feel like maybe the treatment of Africa, which by the way, she was just in Africa, which is a very large continent?
No, I think it's just like a place.
Okay.
You just go there and then you leave.
It just feels like, so she did know other kids. So she does probably understand social dynamics, probably.
Yeah. I feel like you could go down a rabbit hole that I don't want to go down.
That's totally fair. When Regina spots Katie getting harassed in the cafeteria in a way that made no sense to
that's,
me.
I love this fact that Sam told us.
Yeah, because we've seen this movie 80 million times. And he goes, do you like your muffin buttered?
And me and Clean like are like, I don't get it.
I get that he's sexually harassing her, but I do not get why. Like, I don't get the bit. But Sam, could you enlighten the audience at home about that?
Yes. So originally when this movie was first given to censors, it was given the R rating, which does not bode well for a teen film coming out. So they had to remove a lot of lines. So the butter, the muffin was originally, is your cherry popped? Also, like,
they're both metaphors for set. What's the difference?
I think in the butter, the muffin is obviously a metaphor for sex, but one that nobody knows. So okay.
It's fine, but it's obvious in context.
Well, there was also the girl who made out with a hot dog that was supposed to be masturbated with a hot dog.
Sure. I understand that one at least.
And then there was the wide set vagina. They really wanted to get that out. But Anchorman had just come out, and so they fought with them that it was being sexist because Anchorman has a lot of really racy things, and they're like, you're only limiting us because it's female sexuality.
Was Anchorman PG-13?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah, really? That movie's way worse.
But that's always the case with ratings. They're always...
And I think I 100% agree that it's normally the women's movies that get higher ratings because of it, but because these came out at the same time, like, they were able to use it as an exact example at this moment. Like, so that's how that joke got to stay in.
Sam, thank you so much for telling us why the buttered muffin joke makes no fucking sense. Anyway, So Katie's getting harassed at the cafeteria, and we meet Rachel McAdams and her crew for the first time. And she's like, "Oh, is he bothering you? Hey, come join us." And we're like, "She's not so bad. What the hell?" So Regina just asks Katie some questions, and I actually, Michael did not like the line, but I like the line of Karen saying, "But if you're from Africa, why are you white?" And then Gretchen says, "Oh my God, Karen, you can't just ask people why they're white."
Why? I told you I like that line. Why'd you think of it?
I don't know. I'm so sorry, Michael. I misremembered that. Anyway, so she says, Regina invites Katie to sit with them for the next week. And also she gives her a bunch of rules about what she can wear. So that's pretty exciting.
When Katie tells Janice about the plastics offer, Janice tells Katie, what's wrong with me? She tells Katie that she has to do it and report back to her and Damien with all the moronic things the plastics say.
Janice, I also really like Janice. Who's that actress?
Lizzie Kaplan, I think is her name.
Yeah, she's very fun.
I love her. Yeah, I think she's fun in this movie too.
I'm sure there's a lot of weirdos. She was my favorite character when I was a teenager because I was like, that would be me. That would also be me. That would take it way too far. That would be like,
she's me now. I love her. John was all like, she sucks.
I think this is, John had a problem with like that there none of the girls had good friendships or weren't good to each other, but I don't know, it just seemed fine to me because like she did still really care about her, but she was just petty and weird because they're still fucking teenagers. Jesus.
The lesbian thing was weird that she's like, don't reveal the dark secret that people think I'm a lesbian. I just feel like that is aged very badly.
But that was real, though, at the time.
Sure.
So, and it was because it was fine. Because then Janice owns it in an awesome way at the end.
That is good.
Okay. Sorry. Go on.
Where am I at?
So she has to do it and report back about how dumb the plastics are.
Yeah.
And Janice just keeps cutting him off every time Damien is almost going to explain
why, what their beef is. Yeah. Do I read the next paragraph?
Go for it, man.
Oh, I'll do it. The following day, Katie, said it right, goes undercover with the plastics, and they lay down their ground rules for what Katie refers to as girl world, like how they're often allowed to wear hair in a ponytail. You know, really important stuff. After much goading, Katie relents and tells Gretchen that she thinks Aaron Samuels is cute. Turns out it's Regina's ex, and as Gretchen explains, that means he's off limits. That's like against the rules of feminism. Another great line.
I thought there was a weird scene because I actually really like the scene where all these gorgeous teenage girls are like, oh, my pores are so big, my hairline is so weird. Like, that is a real thing that teenage girls do. But the line preceding that was Katie saying, I thought girls could just be skinny or fat. And I'm like, what?
What
a weird thing to say.
What do you mean?
That she's like, oh, I'm just above caring about how you look. I just thought I shouldn't be fat. Like, what the fuck?
Well, Colleen, she is better than teenage girls.
Oh, yeah. I don't know. I just thought that was a weird line. Maybe another thing that just didn't age very
well. What should the line have been? What would you have preferred?
Well, the line should have been, I just didn't realize how many things could be wrong with a person.
That's exactly what she said.
Yeah, I guess the skinny fat thing was just weird to me.
I don't get it. You lost me.
So sorry. So after school. Oh, right. So Katie and the plastics end up in Regina's house where the plastics show Katie their burn book. A homemade book.
Okay, I think the movie is well written, but some of the exposition, like they have to explain the burn book, but it just has to come from nowhere. We're all just looking in the mirror. They're doing that. And someone goes, oh, look at the burn book. And they're like, what's that? And they like explain it. I just felt like that transition was super funny.
Was a little clumsy.
Yeah.
So anyway, each girl in their class has a degrading page about them. Katie kind of horrified. She reports back to Damien. That's one of my favorite Janice lines where Janice goes, what did they say about me? And Katie's like, you're not in it. Because what is in it is that it says Janice Ian Dyke. And Janice goes, that bitch.
Yeah, she's fun. She's fun.
She's so fun.
Shortly thereafter, we're right here. You know me. I can't follow along. Shortly thereafter, Gretchen tells Regina that Katie likes Aaron. Regina gives Katie her blessing to pursue Aaron. Katie starts talking to Aaron more frequently at school, and he invites her to his buddy's Halloween party. Before Katie arrives at the party, Regina tells Aaron Katie's basically a crazy stalker. And then she comes on to him. Then they start making out. Katie sees them, leaves the party in tears, heads directly to Janice and Damon. Together, they hatch a plan to end the reign of Regina.
So here's a few things I want to go back on there.
All right.
Number one, the slut rule. It probably was a real thing. Probably still is to some extent.
What's that?
Oh, that you just get to be as slutty as you want on Halloween, but no one can say anything. I don't know if that's...
I'm just slutty all the time. I just feel like that's my rule. You know, I just live my slut life.
You're not confined by Halloween.
Yeah, it's not limited to one day. Jesus. I'd have 364 sad days.
That's very funny.
thank you.
But this is also another bit where, like, Aaron Samuels is supposed to be our shining light. And he's like... I mean, he makes out with Regina, too. Regina's a terrible person.
I mean...
He's better than them? He's better than these stupid girls? Fuck you,
well,
Aaron.
Well, what part are you talking about? Where he makes out with her, and then he's like, whoa, I don't want that, but I did it for 10 seconds?
Well, I don't want that, but then I'm going to do it again, and we're going to be...
Right, they do start to date after that.
It's like... But all through the movie, he actually says the line, these are just a bunch of bored, stupid girls. You fucking love these stupid girls, you dumb, dumb pretty boy.
And he's not even pretty.
I mean, I do think he's pretty. I would. 17-year-old Colleen would have hit that. Let's just say that.
Well, okay. Yeah, I would have hit that.
I mean, he's got the smile and the eyes and the hair. What's bad about him?
His fucking face is what's bad about him. Where are we at?
Personality, his self-righteousness that comes from fucking nowhere.
I mean, I like, you know, I just see through people. I'm not surface level, you know? So like if they're good at math, maybe that's what I'm more interested in.
Yeah, that's not me, bro. Yeah. So now they've decided that there's three pillars to her power: her minions, her hot body, and her boyfriend. The boyfriend makes no sense to me because she only just got him back, and
the body doesn't make sense because they don't really transform her body,
not at all.
This is part of the movie where it's like this, it's not like this is the plot we're interested in. We're just having fun with these characters.
Oh, we're told I actually like how bad they are at sabotage. That's
kind of fun. Why do you say that?
Well, because like, yeah, they're like, oh, we have this great plan, and like it's been a month and all we did is give her foot cream that made her face smell nice. Like they right. just kind of suck at it in a fun way.
Right. I mean, yeah. I feel like the plot is not really the plot. The plot is like, oh, let's do the sabotage. But it's not about sabotage. It's about just like, let's just watch some people have fun.
Right. So they replace the face wash with foot cream. But then finally they get a good idea. And they send Katie sends a candygram to herself from Regina and to Karen. But Gretchen doesn't get one. Oh, no. Oh, also, we learn at this point that the Regina, when they were in middle school, Regina and Janice were like best friends, but she thought Janice was a lesbian and uninvited from a pool party and told everyone she was a lesbian, which like, Jesus, that is dated. Anyway.
But you're right. It was a thing at the time.
Yeah. Cut to the Winter Talent Show and Regina's being super mean to Gretchen and Gretchen cracks. Back at school, Gretchen starts spilling Regina's secrets to Katie, including the fact that she is cheating on Aaron with Shane Omen. Yeah.
After Christmas break, Katie, Janice, and Damien do everything they can to help Aaron catch Regina and Shane in the act. Nothing works. Then, hey,
do you also think that the coach making out with the teenage Asian girls also did not age super well?
Because they like try to play it as a joke?
Yeah, for a film that's only 15 years old, the fact that Damien wasn't like, wow, this should be reported to the police. He was just like, oh, this is weird.
Yeah, it's hard because they do kind of take it seriously at the end. I mean, I felt like Tim Meadows does really say it with a serious tone. It's like, man, we really caught him and that was bad. But you're right. It's kind of funny at the treated comedically. I don't know.
Yeah, for sure.
After Christmas break, Katie and Joe... Oh, I already said that. Nothing works. Then Katie turns Regina onto counting bars, billing them as carb-busting weight loss snack, when really they help you gain weight.
Michael, remember the part where Katie explains fractions in the dumbest way possible?
oh, this is early on where they're like, oh, we need to do this division. Do you know the division? And Katie's like, oh, yeah, well, you just carry the number and then you just solve for X. I was like, well, you didn't do solve any, that didn't help at all. You're just like, let me get on my whiteboard. Thanks.
She just gives them the answer. She just explains it the worst way.
Fucking nerd.
I think it's cute that she's into math because it's the same in every language. That's a real line, but it is. In the ensuing weeks, Katie starts failing her calculus assignments on purpose, so Aaron will tutor her. Oh, one of my favorite Michael comments was everything Tina Fey would say, Michael would be like, no teacher would say that. Even simple stuff where she's handing back a failed assignment, like, not your best work, Katie.
Ooh, you really botched it, man. Like, what teacher, man, like, in front of everyone? All right.
You would just say that out loud.
Yeah. I mean, also, Tina Fey just also says, like, she sees Janice working her mall stand, and the teacher's like, oh, are you here by yourself? And Tina Fey goes, no, with my boyfriend. Kidding, that was a joke. I was like, that was the worst joke I've ever heard.
That is like how a teacher would be, I guess.
I don't want to see my films. I don't watch The Avengers and be like, that's not what it's like.
I really like it when The Avengers is like, that's what it would be like.
Actually, yeah, when people are just like, who's Ant-Man? That's actually the best part of all the movies.
Or when they talk about the, you know, how bureaucracy impedes superheroing or...
Well, yeah, that's because that's your job. If they started talking about like programming, then I'd be like, all right, you got my attention. Oh, let me get another popcorn.
Okay, so anyway, so Aaron is tutoring Katie and he sucks at math. And then they kiss, and it looks like it's work. But Aaron's like, no, 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 we can't do this to Regina. And then Katie blurts out that Regina is cheating on him. And then Aaron has this fucking stupid line where Katie's like, why do you even like her? She's so mean. He's like, well, we're all mean, but she just puts it out there. Like, fuck you, man. She's just hot.
Yeah.
Stop it.
Rachel McAdams is hot. Have we discussed that?
Oh, she is very... I mean, yeah, all the ladies are pretty hot in this
Rank them.
Rank the hotness?
Rank the hot of the four teenage girls. No, nah, they're in their 20s, right, in the movie. Like, the
actually,
actresses are.
I think Lindsay Lohan was 17 when she filmed this film.
All right, then it's weird.
The weirdest is that she would have been my number one, so.
You said it. And really? Over Lacey Chabert? Come on.
Yeah.
That's like, that's two dimensions of weird.
So spring fling's coming up, Michael.
All right. As spring fling approaches, Katie, Janice, and Damien continue their revenge plan. Their focus now on severing Regina's hold on Gretchen and Karen. Which, why would that work to anything? Whatever. Damien stuffs the spring fling ballot boxes so Gretchen gets nominated for the spring fling queen. While he's at it, he puts Janice in there too. Katie and Regina round out the roster of nominees.
Oh. After class one day, Miss Norberry, that's the math teacher, that's Tina Fey, if that was not clear. She stops Katie to tell her she's officially failing calculus, which that doesn't make any sense to me that she would go that far. Like, she could just get one D that Aaron would see, then just do all the rest of it. Like, why is she failing?
Right. And she gets the concept of doing well at school. You know what I just thought? Of maybe what? Why I don't love this movie as much. Because, like, when we watched Heathers, or here's my opinion of Heathers. I don't know if that's a good movie, but boy, did that have a lot of edge. It was really out there. And I felt like watching this movie is like, you know, I thought this movie did have a lot of edge, but it feels soft.
It doesn't. I still like this movie more than Heathers.
Yeah, I feel that way too, but I think that's a layer that has been sheened off with time.
I mean, now that you say that, it makes me wonder what this movie would look like if it could be made now.
Right. Like, you'd showing the real teens now would be like crazy and harsh and like really out there. But this movie does feel, as some of those Amazon reviews says, I was like, oh, one another teen. I mean, obviously they were being dumb, but
By the way, you know, just a recommendation I want to throw out there for the audience.
Yeah.
Booksmart is really good.
That movie fucking rules. Love that movie.
I think that is the best depiction of teenage girls ever in a movie. I'm just going to say it. I think that is the best.
Yeah, I mean, like, I think that's like a modern day.
What? Sorry?
That's like a it's a teenage movie for this day. And so today, that movie is better than Mean Girls. Not saying it's better at the time.
Right, correct. But I just think it's a gold star for, like, you can show how toxic teenage culture can be, but also how good friends are. And
That movie fucking rules, yeah.
It's a really good movie.
Where are we? I'm totally lost.
What were we talking about? Oh, so Norberry, she calls herself a pusher. She's like, I'm a pusher, Katie, and I'm going to push you. So then cut to her at the blast, like, oh my God, Miss Norberry's so weird. She kept calling herself a pusher. It's like a sad old drug pusher, which that dialogue felt very believable to me.
Mm-hmm. Katie calls Regina. Gretchen's secretly on the line too. And Gretchen hears Regina say that Gretchen's not pretty enough to be Springfield Queen. And that it should really be Karen who's nominated. But she's too much of a slut. Yeesh. Karen gets patched in, and Gretchen tells her what Regina said about her. The next day in the cafeteria, Gretchen and Karen let Regina have it, and Regina storms off. Gretchen and Karen, they promptly start following Katie around. She is the new Queen Bee.
Yeah, that three-way calling really did not age well.
Why do you say that?
It also feels like if they regularly do the three-way call attack, it feels like you should just be aware of that. And you should talk accordingly.
What's the one from Bye Bye Birdie where they're all on the telephone? What's the word? Hummingbird. Have you heard about Hugo and Kim?
That's the one.
Did you really get pinned?
Why did they?
Can you go on?
Did he kiss her and cry? Did he pin the pin on? Or was he too shy?
Are there more lyrics? I forget.
Well, I heard they got pinned. Yeah, yeah.
Is there more?
Michael, where are you?
I was hoping they would.
My point is, like, why didn't they just start singing that?
I mean, that's a really good point. So anyway, that weekend, her parents go away to Madison, Wisconsin. And Katie throws a small get-together. Which, by the way, I don't want to fault this otherwise perfect film, but they did not seem like they were in Illinois. No one was ever in cold weather, ever. Most of the school year is in cold weather. It's fucking ridiculous.
It's bullshit. It's bullshit.
So yeah, Katie throws a small get-together that turns into a monster party, which I will say one of the good things about this movie is it's not like a cliche bad teen movie, but this one thing, they rely on this weird teen movie cliche where someone thinks they're throwing a small party, but then it turns into a rager. And all these people bring booze and like a keg and a sound system. And it's like teenagers are not that well organized or well stocked, I assume.
I don't know any teens in Illinois, though.
Maybe. Or this is another thing that's in more than one teen movie where someone will just carry a tray of shots around the party like they're waiting at the party. Like, what the hell is that?
It's a funny idea.
But anyway, so they're doing the cool drunk party, and then Erin gets there and she's drunk and she makes a fool of herself. Regina busts just in time to see Katie vomit all over Erin. He leaves. Janice and Damien arrive. And Janice is like, oh, did you forget to invite us to your party? Did you have awesome shots and have awesome conversations and just soak up your each other's awesomeness? So Janet has, she had an art show that night that Katie was invited to, but she blew off.
That is probably one of the good qualities of the movie, is where you just get to be in Janice's shoes and be like, ha, they suck and I'm awesome. Do you know what I mean? Where you're like, yeah. At least I'm not like these bad high school girls.
And then she says to Katie what everybody should be saying to Erin Samuels, where it's like, you think you're a good person, you think you're the innocent one, but you are a mean girl, you're a bitch, Erin.
That should be.
People should tell Erin that.
Mean, so, yeah. Mean Erin Samuels, that should be a sequel.
I actually kind of like the line where she's like, you're not pretending to be plastic, you are cold, hard plastic. That's a cool line.
Why were they called the plastics, besides for that line?
Regina
stops back to her car, trailed by Shane, who tells her that calcium bars really are. That's the final straw. Regina goes straight home and adds news page to the burn book, all about herself. The next
Do
day,
not
it's,
trust her. She's a fugly slut.
The next day at school, Regina shows Mr. Duvall, played by Tim Meadows, the burn book, claiming that Katie, Gretchen, and Karen created it because they're the only girls who aren't in it.
The only junior girls, which, by the way, I would assume a dude wrote it. I guess it's pink, so it has to be a girl or whatever. But
right. So think about, see, you got to think.
I just love Tim Meadows' line delivery of, why would Miss George call herself a fuggly slut?
Did Did people say fugly? I don't remember that.
I don't know. They did then. It was a thing.
Maybe Tina Fey said it. Then she throws photocopies of the book pages all over the hallways. Isn't she doing that while the three suspects are all in the office? Doesn't that implicate her?
You would think.
Plot hole. Then she, as soon as class is dismissed and her classmates see the pages, they go berserk and start fighting each other in the hallways, like legit hand-to-hand combat.
Whoa. Whoa.
We get some funny extras just sort of like shaking back and forth. Not everybody in that scene was committed to combat. That's all I'm going to say.
I noticed that for the first time this viewing as well. Mr. Vault orders all the junior girls to go to the gym, and Miss Norbury runs an impromptu mandatory workshop that boils to how not to talk to people about people behind their backs. Right, that's when he's like, "I will keep you here all night. We can only keep you four. I will keep you here till 4.
Yeah, funny line.
I would cancel your spring fling.
Good line.
We already paid the DJ.
Good line.
It's so cute.
It's a cute line.
Okay, so they all are getting up and they're all like sharing their feelings, and it's Lacey Chabert does a great one where she's like, "I can't help it that everyone just hates me because I'm so popular."
That was actually a good impression. That actually sounded like her.
So then Janice gets up and is like, "Oh, I'm so sorry that my friend Katie and I had a plan to ruin Regina George's life." Well, so Regina storms out, Katie goes after her, and Regina's like, "Do you even know what they say about you? They say you're a jungle freak, less hot version of me." And then she gets run over by a bus.
You know, I have a weird complaint that I think you're going to disagree with. There's a pretty funny line where as they're doing their sort of workshop, one of the women who come up says like, "Oh, why can't we all just be friends like we were in kindergarten?" And then Damien is like, "You don't even go to the school." And she's like, "No, I just have a lot of feelings." Do you remember this line?
Yes, I do.
I usually like that line. But this time, like, that was actually too silly of a line. Like, I felt like it was too SNL.
Sure.
Like, what? You know, why are you there then? Anyway.
That's fair.
That night, Katie.
Here's one, a line I didn't like when I was a kid. Or a teenager, but a line that actually made me laugh more this time was the wide vagina one. Because I think that actress, she has fun delivery.
Yeah, like, I totally see
it
that.
It said I wasn't a virgin because of the wide tampons. Or sorry, because I use jumbo tampons. But I can't help it that I have a wide set vagina and a heavy flow.
She's committed
so
to that line.
She's so earnest. I love
her. Totally. That
and
night,
reaction's great. Anyway, go
that
on.
Night, Katie's parents are grounded her for failing calculus. The next day at school, rumors fly that Katie shoved Regina in front of the bus. When cops show up in calculus to investigate Miss Norbury's alleged drug dealing, Katie decides to take the blame for the burn book.
And that's when Aaron Samuels talks about silly girls and fuck you, man.
Shortly thereafter, she aces a calculus test, apologizes to Miss Norbury, and makes up with Aaron.
Good. I'm so glad that she can be with Aaron.
Fucking asshole, yeah.
Jesus. You know what? I have another weird thing to say about this movie.
What's that?
Lindsay Lohan's parents are Anna Gasteyer and the janitor from Scrubs. Neil Flynn?
Yeah.
I feel like, I don't know how I would have given them more screen time. I like those actors a lot, and I wish they had gotten to do something a little more fun, even in the very short time they had.
All right. Fair enough.
That's a weird complaint. What are we talking about? Oh, so yeah, now she's joining the mathletes to get extra credit. So while the spring fling is kicking off and people are having fun at the dance, the mathletes are doing their own little thing, and that's where Katie wins the mathlete competition by saying the limit does not exist. And I don't know anything about calculus, but that sounds fine to me.
Yeah, it's a real thing. Yep.
Is that right?
Yeah, it's a real thing.
You're a math major, you know. Did you feel seen when you watched that part?
No, because I don't remember anything about limits. But I know it's a real thing.
Sure. So then after their competition, they decide to all just go to spring fling.
Because the teacher's like, "Who cares about you going home? Go out."
She says, "No, I have to go home. I'm grounded." And she's like, "You're already out." And like, she even doesn't.
She's like, "Don't be lame."
Well, I think that's so funny because earlier in the movie, Amy Poehler does this great cool mom bit you know?
Yeah.
I'm not a regular mom. I'm a cool mom. And then that's what Tina Fey was doing unironically as a cool teacher, right?
Yeah, totally.
Which is fine. So anyway, Katie arrives. She is crowned Spring Fling Queen.
Yeah. Katie gives a speech that boils down to making fun of other people doesn't make any smarter, funnier, or attractive. Aaron finds the dance floor afterwards and they share a kiss.
That was great when she goes to the mic and... And Tim Meadows is like, people don't really make speeches.
That was a good line. That was a good line.
So then they look ahead and they've solved all their problems. Regina has decided to channel rage into sports. Gretchen Wieners is Asian, I guess, and that's cool.
Yeah, that's a thing.
That's a thing. Anyway, everyone's fine and we're all friends and nobody hates each other. They figured it out. But men still suck, probably. They didn't solve that one. And she's dating Aaron, who goes to Northwestern, so they see each other on weekends. That's going to last.
No, I think men are perfect.
Good point.
Let's
call our brother John.
Yeah, let's do it.
Yeah. Hello?
Hey,
hello?
John, we're talking about Mean Girls. Have you seen it? What do you think about it?
So, yes, I have seen it. Saw it recently alongside you guys. And as the loyal listeners of the podcast know, John Flaherty is a huge Mean Girls fan, and I have to say, I enjoyed it a lot less on this most recent viewing than I did long, long ago.
Why is that?
Yes, John did recommend this. Did we say that?
No.
John is the one who recommended this film for our list.
I don't know exactly why. I might have done it because I liked it. But I just liked it so much less. The principal reason I didn't is I do suffer from what you might call Mike Flaherty disease, and I just didn't like anybody in the movie. I knew I didn't, but I mean, I really didn't this time. It's obvious why you don't like the Mean Girls, even though, as was noted, all of them are great actresses. You don't like Lindsay Lohan because, duh. You don't like the guys, or Aaron Samuels, because...
Lindsay Lohan's fine. She's just going through a character arc. She's bad, and then she becomes...
Sure, but Jesus Christ, come on. You're smarter than that.
No, I don't agree with John. I relate to Lindsay a lot. Like, I
sure, feel, I don't in any way, shape, or form. So,
redhead.
Like I could have been Lindsay.
Yeah, I don't like Aaron Samuels, even though I feel like I should.
No.
Maybe. No. All right.
That was the correct emotion.
Okay, fair enough. I don't even like Tina Fey that much, and I definitely aggressively don't like her friends, the ones who claim her, Janice and...
Damien.
What's Damien? I mean, they use her just abusively, and then they're set up to be the heroes in the end. That always strikes me wrong.
Yeah, they're just having fun.
I liked it.
I didn't like it at all. They're using Lindsay Lohan's naivety, and then they're pissed at her when she... does what they ask. I don't like it. It made me very sad.
Sorry, people aren't
sad
for you, John. That's just not the way the world is.
I think the principal.
Do you think about that?
The principal reason that I think I liked them a lot less is just because the humor wasn't as funny, and I think it's because it didn't age very well.
That's fair.
Yeah, it's fair.
Yeah.
What do you like about it?
Back in the day when I watched it, the humor was so amazing that I had to watch it 3 times in theaters, and it just wasn't there for me this time. I'm sad. I'm sad by it.
Did you like anything about it?
I mean, especially the top two Mean Girls whose names are totally escaping me.
Gretchen and Karen.
Yeah, who are in real life.
Lacey Chabert and Amanda Seyfried? Or are you talking about Regina George, and who is played by...
Regina George, obviously.
Oh, by Rachel McAdams.
Yeah, those two... nailed it out of the park. They're so good. Such good performances.
Very good.
Loved it every time they were on screen, even if they were the worst. Yeah, maybe that's it. Regina George is my favorite character, and she's literally the worst.
Fair enough.
Yeah.
John, what grade do you give this film?
I give it a solemn, disappointed B-.
Okay.
Dang. All right.
John, thank you so much for joining us for this call. We will talk to you next week.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Michael, what grade do you give this film?
Well, here's the thing. I think I'm going to give it a low grade. And the reasoning is because I've seen a lot of movies that are old that I still think are really good and really hold up. So we just saw Aladdin recently, which I would say like, oh, that's like a movie from my childhood that has properties about it that did not age well. But I still thoroughly enjoyed watching it. And, you know, there's older movies like Dirty Dancing, which are more oriented to female audiences, which I watch. I'm like, oh, that movie fucking kicks ass. But so it's like, I want to say, like, I didn't really enjoy watching this movie. And I can't really fall back on the excuse that, oh, well, it was good at the time, because movies that were good at the time, some movies still do actually age really well. And this one does not. So I'm going to go with a C+.
Wow.
For my grade.
I'm going to go lower than I would have thought I was going to go before the latest viewing. But I, unlike you, I do like to take into account the AFI criteria. And it is quite a remarkable pop culture phenomena that, like, you can quote lines to for most people and people know what it is. And
now you could say that about The Phantom Menace as well.
That's just a thing for, like, people on Reddit.
That's a lot of people. A lot of people go on Reddit.
That's true. I'm going to give it a B.
Fair enough.
Because I think it's... And I also think, I mean, it was probably one of the more successful films of the decade with a female writer. And I like that it was a movie about teenage girls that wasn't so shallow. And I still like a lot of things about it.
Nice. But, nice. Who are we sponsored by?
This week, it's weird because last week we were sponsored by Google. So you think they'd be the same. But actually, a representative from YouTube reached out.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
So Michael, could you read the copy that YouTube sent over?
We're sponsored by YouTube this week?
Yeah.
Bum, 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 bum. Do you like to watch videos about cats or tutorials about how to sew or do household things? Then I got a website for you. Bum, 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 bum. It's called YouTube. Bum, 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 bum. Check it out on your local browser on Google Chrome or Firefox. Hit it up today. YouTube. It's for you.
Internet Explorer, get out of here.
Fucking leave. Don't go to YouTube. Internet Explorer. Burn your computer.
Well, let me figure out what our next film is.
That was a great copy by me. I just want to compliment myself.
It is True Lies.
True Lies. Excellent.
I was wondering, when are we going to get another James Cameron vehicle on the show? Thank God. It's coming in. True Lies, nominated by very own Samantha Norman.
Sick of these lies that are falsehoods. Like,
let's have some true lies.
These are true lies. And cut.